It's the California Wine Country Podcast with Steve Jackson and Dan Berger. We taste, we laugh, we learn.
California Wine Country with Dan Berger, brought to you by Bottle Barn. Our guest today is Mitch Cosentino from Pure Cru Wines, C-R-U. Mitch, welcome, man.
Yeah, thank you. Good to be here.
We always start with the history. You're in Napa Valley.
First vintage was 06, but I started that while still at my namesake, my old namesake of Cosentino, you know, or winery. Yeah.
Okay.
So, which I started back in 1980, and then we went public, and that public thing, is I didn't like that at all. And I left in 2010, and then it returned to a private corporation. In 11, I consulted for a couple of years, but I had already started consulting for others, and I started Pure Cru Wines, too, actually made from all my old vineyard sources from the old company, because I maintain all those.
Where in Napa Valley are you?
In the town of Napa. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So we don't have a taste room. I had a taste room downtown Napa, and we lost the lease just before the virus set in, which ended up being very fortunate. 8 years we had a place downtown, taste room. It was, you know, but so we're looking at a different opportunity. We'll see. But right now, you can't do anything in taste rooms anyway, so.
You're quoted on the website, a winemaker's, what did it say? I just was thinking, keeps flipping around on me. A winemaker's wine project.
Right. That's what the Pure Cru started out being, right? The original wine was the Pure Cause, and it was Pure Cause because I've had the M Cause wine, which was kind of my signature wine at the old company, going back into the 80s, and when I started Pure Cause, of course, the old company didn't like that, you know. But I said, no, that's tough. And I reference it because no matter what happens with the old namesake, going public and all that stuff, this was absolutely me. And that's where Pure Cause came from. So, and then I developed that into other wines, and Pure Cru became the carry-off of that.
Okay. We begin the show every week now with something out of Dan's wine cellar. This is only a, what, 2014?
2014 Chardonnay.
7 years.
7 years. It was made by Jeff Gaffner, and the name of the brand is Black Kite. Black Kite is a project that's based in Anderson Valley up in Mendocino County. But they like to buy fruit from other properties. And this one comes from the Sierra Mar Vineyard in Santa Lucia Highlands. And it's made in the typical Euro style and Burgundy style with lots of time in barrels and, you know, lees contact and so forth. It's a big, rich.
This is really good. And I, you know, I never get we talked about this recently. I seldom get to drink 7-year-old Chards.
Well, and it's one of the reasons I grabbed it, Steve. I knew that you liked Chardonnay, but I found this in the cellar, and I thought, why am I still sitting on with it? You know, 7 years is plenty of time for this stuff. You know? And here the wine has really got that beautiful burnished character, that sort of a slightly burnt wood component, but it's not
which
very woody.
I got immediately.
Oh, yeah, it's gorgeous. I mean, it's got a little tropical fruit. And
it really shows its region.
Yeah, it shows the region.
Tasting and smelling this, I would never guess it was anywhere up in the North Coast, because there's a certain exotic component to it that you get in that area that you don't really see up here often.
Mm. Yeah, that Central Coast characteristic is identifiable, and if you aren't familiar with it, just keep drinking a couple of those wines. You'll see what we're talking about, the little tropical fruit notes, which you don't really typically find in the North Coast as much. And this is a beautiful job.
It's a nice wine. It's got good balance.
Jeff's a good winemaker. We're going to have him on the show in a few weeks. And he makes fabulous Pinot Noirs as well. So we'll see some Black Kite wines coming up.
California Wine Country with Dan Berger, brought to you by Bottle Barn. Our guest is Mitch Cosentino from Pure Cru Wines.
What's your first white wine, Mitch?
I've got a Chardonnay also.
Let's do it.
It's a 17. And it's from the Oak Knoll Avenue in Orchard Avenue. Orchard Avenue in Oak Knoll District, which is kind of a noted area. I think it's one of the best regions for Chardonnay in Napa.
And I 100% agree with you. I think Oak Knoll is one of the most prestigious appellations for Chardonnay in California, even though central part of Napa Valley is not considered Chardonnay country, but Oak Knoll is special, very special.
Yeah. So I've been making it Chardonnay from this vineyard since the early to mid-90s.
Very Burgundian, Mitch.
Yeah.
Real Burgundian style. Some Lees contact.
Lees and barrel, 14 months in barrel.
And you pushed the envelope on the barrels.
Well, but interestingly enough, the barrels that I use, nobody else has, because they designed them for me in the 90s, early 90s, 91, and they don't want to do them commercially. It's not that I own it. It's just they designed it for the wine I was making, this style. And what they've done is it's a three-forest prescribed blend. So the cooper, who was a woman, designed it, and then when they realized it was expensive to make, because when you have to fit a barrel together, the different staves to find the right size, you pull off staves from this pallet of wood and you put them together. When it's three-forest prescribed, it has to be a third of each. So they have to work off of three pallets, and then they have to measure it.
That would be expensive,
yeah,
I would
so
think.
It's
yeah.
But they still continue to make them for me and anybody. I consult for other people, too. So if that's the case, there's only one production day to do them. So anyway, and it creates, for me, the barrels on all the wines are the black velvet in the jewelry store. It's to set off the fruit, the balance, and
I'd like that. I like that.
And my wines have a history of aging a long time, my wife's.
Dan, your thoughts?
This is a really lovely wine. It's got some beautiful personality. It's halfway between Pulini and Meursault. It's got the Meursault character in the finish, but it's got that Pulini note in the aromatics. It's a beautiful structure, and it's got wonderful acidity, because you don't taste the acid as acid. You taste it as a balance point.
Right.
Gorgeous wine.
Yeah. So it gives it great length.
It really is good, man.
Yeah. So
what am I getting in this finish? It's just hanging in, and it's,
you know,
wonderful.
Is there any unusual forest? Because I'm getting a wood note.
Vosges.
That's what it is. It's Vosges.
That's what you get. It's a blend of Nivernais, Allier, and Vosges. And Vosges is the
Vosges forest is, it gives you a certain kind of almost like a faint vanilla component.
Yeah, without being obvious or clear.
That's what it. Ken Burnap used that in 1984 for his Chardonnay at Santa Cruz Mountain Vineyard, and I picked it up. And, well, he used 100% Vosges, and it was too strong.
Right. Right. Yeah. No. I was doing a lot of barrel experimentation, especially in the 90s, and when this barrel, this woman said, I'm going to do it for you, she sent it out. She said, I'll do something. And it was the 1st of July, and I go, yeah, okay, I didn't think about it. In September, the day I was racking the juice in the barrels, these two barrels arrived. I wasn't counting on it. All of a sudden, out of the blue. And since that point, they've always been the best barrel. So,
that's a beautiful wine. What's the retail price for this?
About $32.
Oh, that's a bargain.
Yeah. I agree.
Yeah. And we don't release early. 17 is a new release. The 15 right now is just beautiful.
Do you make wine with any Sonoma County grapes?
Yeah, absolutely.
I would think so.
Yeah, absolutely. In fact, I actually, my Pinot is Carneros, and most of the time it's Sonoma Carneros.
Okay.
Yeah. And but I also get some Cabernet Franc from Sonoma Valley, started 3 years ago. It's from a little guy that I only get 4 tons of, and it's really exciting. I don't even know what I'm going to use it for yet.
Well,
I'm a huge fan
of Cabernet Franc. I think it's a fabulous variety.
Well, we brought one.
Good. Good. Looking forward to it.
Yeah.
So, Mitch, you don't have a tasting room at this point?
I don't at this time. I have a website, and we have a wine club, and we've been shipping everything that way recently because in fact, a lot of business. So we're looking at some other options.
You have club crew.
We have two different levels, our original crew and our crew club. Our grand crew is kind of the one level, and the original crew is kind of the other. Right.
Okay.
Club members get 25% discount on all wines at all times.
Oh, that's a nice opportunity.
Yeah, the Chard.
Oh, Chard. Okay.
Yeah. That is just too good. I have to have another taste.
Well, I'll leave the bottle.
One thing that
thank you.
One thing that you probably don't emphasize much, Mitch, but you were the other winery in Modesto for a while.
Till from 1980 to 1990. I opened the winery in Napa in 1990, even though I bought property there in the mid-'80s. Right, I was. I used to say I was the second largest winery in Modesto. There were only two.
Gallo and Mitch.
Yeah, and Ernest didn't always like me.
I know you're big on winemaking and cuisine, yeah. Food pairing and such.
Absolutely.
With this shard, which I just adore, oysters?
This would be really good with oysters of any preparation.
Right. Yeah. I would think it would be better with oysters Rockefeller because there is a richness here.
Yeah. Well, and that's with the white Meritage wine that we'll finish with.
Okay.
Is the right out of Hog Island.
Okay. I'm ready for that one.
Yeah. So, yep.
By the way, Bottle Barn is open for in-store shopping. Every day, 10 a.m. to 6 p.m., you can place an order for curbside pickup still at bottlebarn.com. As you know, for decades, Bottle Barn's been providing Sonoma County and the North Bay with an unmatched selection of the finest wines, beers, and spirits. The greatest prices anywhere, 10 a.m. to 6 p.m., and Bottle Barn can ship wine to most states. Go to bottlebarn.com for details and check out all their great specials every week. They are a proud, longtime sponsor of California Wine Country every week. Bottlebarn.com.
I was in there yesterday, bought my weekly six-pack.
Not beer.
No. I don't need more wine, but I can't help myself.
Listen, Dan, I'm even worse. My cellar is over 10,000 bottles. And I still buy wine because as a winemaker, though, I probably got the biggest cellar of any winemaker, a legitimate winemaker.
Okay,
10,000.
Yeah, it was 12, and I lost 800 in the earthquake in 14.
Oh, wow.
In about 2 weeks, Barry Herbst over at Bottle Barn is going to have a much larger selection of 2019 German Rieslings and 2019, one of the greatest vintages in Germany ever. So and we should look for those. We'll have a show on that pretty soon.
You're a German Riesling guy.
I certainly am.
Real Dan? No.
How could that be?
All right, so what are we going here?
We're going to go to a Carneros Pinot. And it's interesting because Pinot Noir is the first wine I release from a vintage. Now, it's not that we short cycle it or anything. It's just the way the dynamics of it. Now, there are certain vintages sometimes that I'll hold back a little bit. But
what's the vintage on this?
This is 18.
Oh, it's gorgeous.
Yeah. So it's the only red that gets less than, are you ready for this? Less than 3 years in barrels.
It's very silky. It doesn't have much tannin to it.
Yeah.
Beautiful structure. Beautiful.
Oh, it's silky as hell.
Oh, my God. It's gorgeous wine.
Here's what we do also, because we didn't say this on Chardonnay, but we stir the lees on Chardonnay for like 10 months. And on the Pinot, we stir it most of its time in the barrels also.
That's a risk, but you get away with it.
I've been doing it for a long time.
So. What you're getting out of that is this sort of bone grave component, is sort of a leafiness in the...
Geek alert. Bone grave.
It's a district of... of a Côte de Beaune in France, and it gives you a kind of a, there's a faint dried herb component in some of those wines, and I just love that. And Bone Grave is a sub-district of Beaune, and I just happen to have that as one of my favorite red wines in the world, and I can't afford any of them. So
when this hits my palate, it goes up into my nostrils, my nose. It makes
exotic.
Me happy.
It's that I would call this exotic.
Yeah,
and gorgeous.
Here's the thing: as a winemaker and as a wine consumer and fan, to me, the wine has to have. It has to have a dynamic spice characteristic. It's got to have some beautiful aromatics. And then the texture. It's got to be important on the texture.
So this is designed to go with rare roast beef. If you tried to put this with a steak, the steak would overpower
it. Oh, yeah, no, it's not a
steak. So this is an elegant wine. It's simple, but flavorful. Oh, my goodness. The aftertaste. You know, you've got wonderful acidity here.
Well, you know, I like, I do a lot of pasta.
Yeah.
And I make Sangiovese-based wines, have for 30 years. But I like this with a sauce that I like to make that's got a little bit more oregano in it.
Well, that's exactly what I was picking up out of here. Yeah, I'm getting a little trace of fresh oregano in this aroma here. This is it reminds me a little bit of that.
But you said this is an 18?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, it drinks like a 16.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That is one of the smoothest pinots.
And of course, it's
ever.
Always punch capped in those tea bins, which are hold like 3/4 of a ton.
That was your nickname for a while, wasn't
it? Yeah. Absolutely. So
Mitch is a great judge at wine competitions, and he brings his own palate cleansers.
Yes, I do.
He doesn't trust me and allow me to bring my palate cleansers.
It's not just you. Anywhere I've done it, have a.
What are your palate cleansers?
I use an Italian flat breadstick, basically, or a cracker, that scares people because it's got a little bit of rosemary in it, and people think it's going to screw up the palate. And it's hard crusted, so it's made out of that semolina kind of.
Sure.
So it never gets gummy in the mouth, and the rosemary doesn't impede it. What it does is it revitalizes the palate.
Why do they think rosemary impedes the palate?
Because people say, well, it's flavored. You're going to flavor the wine. And it doesn't.
Gotcha. Yeah,
it does
not.
Now, the secret to his crackers, though, are very low salt. And so that helps a lot.
Right. Very low salt. And because it's hard, it doesn't get gummy in the mouth like some crackers or bread do.
Right. Which is not good when you're tasting wine.
So it's very cleansing on the palate. Yeah.
Wow.
So
this is a beautiful Pinot Noir. So this is from Carneros. Where is the vineyard exactly?
This actually has two vineyards, and it's this particular one is on the Napa side of the line, although most of them are on the Sonoma. But the new one I'm developing is on the Sonoma, and the first test wines out of it are phenomenal.
Where are you making all these wines?
My bond is in the Corporate Park area. I share facilities
in
with
Napa.
A couple others.
Yeah.
But I have my own bond there. But I also consult for the J. McClellan wines from the Scotto family. And that facility we have is up east of Silverado, up in the eastern hills.
Oh, okay.
And I've been making more and more of the wines there because I'm sharing some of my fruit sources with them, and it just makes it easier.
Some of the Scotto wines are fabulous values. Really good stuff.
There's some fun stuff coming that's going to be really exciting. So,
this is California Wine Country with Dan Berger, brought to you by Bottle Barn. Our guest today is Mitch Cosentino from PureCrewWines.com. Check them out. Any of this, at this point, available retail, like at Bottle Barn?
We can get it to them. We have a distributor that comes over here now. We just did. Usually, in Sonoma, a lot of the wines, not necessarily with Bottle Barn or something like that, but a lot of the places are kind of lean more toward the Sonoma wines than Napa.
Yeah, But Bottle Barn doesn't.
No.
Barry Herbst, if you're listening, and talk to Mitch. This is good stuff. It's California Wine Country with Dan Berger, brought to you by Bottle Barn. Our guest today is Mitch Cosentino from Pure Crew Wines, C-R-U, purecrewwines.com. The show is also brought to you in part by the great Nick's Cove in Marin. Gotta love Nick's Cove. They're doing a counter service. You can go in with your mask and order some food and then take it outside. You can go to the boathouse and have some. You can sit outside. There's tables that you can sit at once you order your food. But nickscove.com. Check them out. Mitch Cosentino.
Yes, sir.
PureCrewWines.com. All right. This is a Cab Franc?
Yeah, I've been making Cab Franc since 1985, continuously.
Whoa. You must have been one of the first.
My inspiration was a 77 from Mount Veeder when it was one of those occasional leftover from a blend. Coppola did one in 78.
And then they didn't do another one. I remember that one.
It was a wonderful one.
I forgot that.
Yeah, that was their first vintage.
A fun wine,
But then you didn't see them. When I came out with my first Cab Francs, I was kind of the Lone Ranger, though. for, you know, because I was doing it all the time regularly. And in a lot of years, I've done more than one. I think I've counted up. I've made over 50 bottlings of Cab Francs in those years under different. I did a California Cab Franc.
A lot of wineries in the Napa Valley do swear by Cabernet Franc as a blender. And I remember talking to Doug Fletcher when he was the winemaker over at Chimney Rock some years ago, and he said, I said, you love to put 20% Cab Franc in your Cabernet Sauvignon. And he said, yeah. And I said, why? And he said, well, it's a very simple answer to that. He said, I couldn't make my Cabernet Sauvignon without the Franc.
Yeah.
Couldn't do it.
Explain what Cabernet Franc is exactly.
Well, it's actually the genetic parent of Cabernet Sauvignon, along
true.
With Sauvignon Blanc.
Right.
You know, and but the interesting thing is that it is a more aromatic grape. Has a lot of interesting spice components, clove being the most accurate. If you see clove in it, then it's probably got Cab Franc in it, if it's another wine.
And the other aromatic that's really interesting is that with Cabernet Sauvignon, you're going to have some cherries, but you're going to get more of a red cherry component from the Cabernet Franc when it's really ripe and it's still fermenting.
Yeah.
I mean, walking through a fermentation room, Cabernet Franc is the one you want to smell.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's really interesting.
Yeah.
This has the structure of a Pinot Noir. It was obviously made with punch down rather than pump over. That means that the juice was left in the tank and then used sort of a physical nature to push down the fermentation cap
right.
to extract the color.
We do a lot of whole berry, too. We don't.
And
yeah,
whole berry is risky. You run the risk that the wine is going to go into a strange fermentation. But in this case, you've got loads and loads of fruit here. It reminds me. It's hard to identify this as a Cabernet Franc because it's so aromatically fascinating.
Yeah, and it's very young for me. It's a 16, but it's very young for me. You'll see it as they age a little bit. They'll develop
beautiful wine,
gather more.
And if you now, is it released yet?
It the 14 is released. I did not do a 15, and the 16 will be released in I think it's going to be April.
This is a 16.
Yeah,
and not released yet.
Yeah.
That's just amazing.
Yeah.
Well, people should buy this wine and take it home and put it in a decanter for 2 hours before they drink it. This wine is really very, very tasty right now.
What should we eat with this, Mitch?
Well, lamb.
Lamb. I was going to say, lamb, my favorite.
Yeah. Anything game, actually.
Okay.
It's great with duck. One of my favorite stories is people used to come in the old company and tame in the taste room, and they heard me talking about what to have with it. And this guy walks up in the middle of another conversation, says, no, I'll tell you what it's great with. Bear. We're from Minnesota, and we have to have your Cab Franc with our annual bear. So they're in. I'm going. Everybody laughed. I go, I have to take your word for it.
My compadre in L.A. is asking, is Mitch related to the Cosentino family of Malibu?
No, that's interesting. I know of them. When they had the great floods years ago and their sign washed down the road, I was getting calls thinking that the winery was washed away. No, I'm not, but we are aware and know each other, yes. I actually have some family in Southern California historically, but they're not related directly.
All right, what are you guys drinking now?
We've got the 2015 Pure Cause. This is the wine that started the company, and this is also a new release.
All right, I do have to have a taste.
Yeah, this is, well, first of all, I was the original Meritage wine. The first wine that was Meritage was a wine that I made, and it was released in 1989 with the term. This wine is kind of an offshoot of that. I still make one under M. Cause, which is kind of my signature wine. But this wine is actually a Meritage plus one. So it's kind of like you may find in the Bulgari region. It's Cabernet Franc, Merlot, and sometimes Petit Verdot, but there's one other characteristic in most vintages, and it's a little bit of Sangiovese. And we add that.
That's a hell of a blend.
We add that. It gives it it's a red fruit brightness to the black fruit Bordeaux. In a year when, if like I've had years where maybe all the red fruit was coming out of the Merlot, then I wouldn't use a Sangiovese.
Dan?
So.
Very interesting aromatically, because the Sangiovese gives it a certain, I don't know what that spice note is. It's almost as if it had a kind of a Jolly Rancher red cherry component somewhere.
Really? I haven't heard Jolly Rancher in a wine on the wine show ever.
Well, how do you describe this, man?
Yeah, it's
very interesting.
I should look at my notes. But I kind of look at it. There is definitely a red cherry characteristic to it. But I get a sense more on the front side of more a little bit more pomegranate.
Oh, there you go. There you
yeah.
go.
Yeah, and that's kind of the Cab Franc. I mean, the Sangiovese and the Merlot sometimes combine to give a little bit of a pomegranate characteristic to it.
I got some pomegranate stuff going on here.
Yeah. Again, it's got that sort of exotic note that you get from the way you use your barrels. And I think the average consumer, when they smell this the first time, it's so enticing they're going to want to drink it and not age it. But again, I think because of the way the acidity works with it, it probably is going to age really nicely.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's a fun wine to do. It's designed to be very versatile with food. I mean, there's a lot of things you can do with this, and that's what's fun about it.
I'm thinking steak here with this particular one. Am I wrong?
No, you can do steak. It's probably better with a filet than a ribeye.
Okay.
In terms of that, I've had this thing with. I've had it with blackened salmon. It was fantastic, especially coastal. I mean,
blackened salmon, I can see easily would really work. Yeah,
yeah. So it's got a lot of fun things going. It retails for about $65. And interesting about this wine is the first vintage was 06. It's the same retail now,
really,
as it was with the 06. I've kept the same pricing, despite the fact that the grape prices have more than doubled.
Oh, my goodness, yeah. Well, I mean, your Cabernet Sauvignon these days is out off the chart.
Cabernet Franc's more expensive in Napa than Cabernet Sauvignon.
Wow.
Yeah, over $8,000 a ton.
Pure Cru, C-R-U, purecruwines.com. They're in Napa Valley. Mitch Cosentino from Pure Cru. Thank you, man, for being here. We appreciate it. It's great to see you. Okay, quickly.
Yep. You got to taste this because you're a white wine drinker. Not white wine. You like good
charcoal. Right, yeah.
This is how we finish.
Okay.
White. It's a white Bordeaux, actually a white Meritage wine, technically. All right. And it's called Purity. I've been making this since 82.
Holy crap. Explain this, how you make this and what it exactly is.
Well, it's basically Semillon and Sauvignon Blanc. This one is 60% Semillon. It's modeled after Aubryon Blanc. The rarest wine in Bordeaux is white, not red. That kind of screws with people's heads.
That is gorgeous wine.
And I've been fortunate enough to have collector friends that have Aubryon Blanc, so they also buy this wine.
Well, what's it close to in the white wine world?
Well, that's it.
It's a white Bordeaux style wine. And since they're so rare and difficult to get here, most people don't know anything about them. This wine is probably destined to be best in 10 years.
The first vintage off this vineyard, same vineyard, was 93. I still have a couple cases of 93, and it is just mind-blowing.
Semillon ages like forever.
Yeah, mind-blowing. So
that's special.
We call it red wine drinker's white, and you see how you pour it after all the reds? How are we going to taste it after those reds? No problem.
No, that makes sense.
Yeah. 2016 vintage. Everything's about it. It's like a red wine. Wow. Release time, everything.
That is special. Mitch Cosentino from purecruwines.com. It's California Wine Country, brought to you by Bottle Barn with Dan Berger. Mitch, great to meet you, man. You got to come back.
Yeah, will do.
And thanks for driving over from Napa.
Sure, no problem.
All right.